Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic. What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. The internet spoke and I listened. Miss Gabby Egan is in the motherfucking house, baby. What's up?
I'm here. I was late. I was 30 minutes late. And I'm glad that I'm here, though. Thank you for having me on.
Dude, your hair looks so cute. I was just telling you that. It is so adorable.
Yeah, thank you. My hair girl kills it. No. Shout out Meg.
Yay. Yeah. And we just found out that Meg and Mimi, who was my hairdresser turned manager, were friends.
Yeah. Which is like a small world.
Fucking so small, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, so what's been going on with you? What are you guys doing out here in Nashville besides the podcast?
Last night we went to Broadway.
Oh, shit.
It wasn't what I expected. I don't think that we really... I think it was because it was like a Monday night, though. Mm-hmm. And it was just like everybody was like 45 plus and it was like... You know, like it just, yeah. Like we weren't vibing with everybody in there. So yeah. Just, we weren't fitting in.
It was old people hour.
Yeah.
Down on Broadway.
Nobody was getting down.
Oh, damn it. Yeah. Nobody was boot scooting boogieing. Mm-hmm. You mean the fucking bachelorette parties that run around with dicks on their foreheads and white boots weren't fucking running around down there?
No, that happened.
Oh, dude. Every fucking day, I thought. Like literally, everybody's got a dick on their forehead.
How did I go on the one day where it's not like popping? Like,
that is crazy. So what was it? It was Monday night. That's probably why.
Yeah.
It might be a little... Are you guys staying tonight? Are you guys...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're staying tonight.
Yeah, it'll probably be a little better tonight. But it gets better towards the weekend. I know, like, Kristen and Whitney and all them are out here right now. I don't know if you know who they are. They're other TikTokers. No?
Oh my God.
She's like, nope.
I know. Jacinda is always trying to, like, tell me. She's like, you know this person. And I'm like, no, I think I live under a rock sometimes. But I'm getting better, like, at trying to figure out who people are and, like, you know.
Yeah. So who's Jacinda to you?
So Jacinda is someone who I met online. And I make t-shirts. Mm-hmm. And she makes t-shirts.
Yeah.
And
we're going to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a little list of notes over here.
Yeah. We, like, connected over, like, her trying to, like, help me with my business because she's been doing it for 5 years.
Aww.
And she actually uprooted her whole life and, like, moved down to Kentucky. So now she lives 5 minutes away from me and we kind of help each other run our businesses. It's really cool.
Ah, don't you love that? That's what Mimi did for me, man. She fucking owned a salon and I literally in 2018, I was like, I want to start this podcast and fucking, you know, I can't pay you right now, but one of these days I will be able to pay you. And she's like, fuck it, let's go. And we've just been together ever since. So
yeah.
That's a beautiful friendship.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually, like, really beautiful.
Yeah, no, but that's cool. That's what Jacinda did for you too.
I know. So, yeah. It's pretty crazy. I know. It's kind of like hard to, like, sometimes when I really think about it and I think, well, she has kids too.
Yeah.
So, like, she uprooted, like, her husband, her kids. And, like, but I'm really excited because she lived in the middle of, like, buttfuck nowhere, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Like, there was, like, a sheets and, like, a red light. Like, there was nothing for miles. So now she gets, like, blowouts.
Aww.
And, like, has, like, appointments and stuff. And I love, like, seeing her, like, grow and flourish.
Aww,
it's pretty awesome.
That's a real friendship.
Yeah.
You know, you guys lifting each other up. So let's just fucking dive in because I Googled you last night and today a little bit and just to get some cliff notes and stuff. And you have lived a interesting life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
I love the way you carry yourself.
I don't even know how I carry myself sometimes. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I feel like I still haven't found myself and, like, I still don't know what I'm doing. And I, like, I feel like I'm a train wreck, but I feel like I'm on the right path. I just don't know what I'm doing.
You're
yet.
Genuine though.
Yeah,
that,
I know.
That shows through.
And you I try to be genuine. And sometimes it's hard because I do try to like fall into like, you know, I try to like be what I'm not supposed like, or I'm trying to like keep up with trends or like keep up with how I'm supposed to be acting.
Be relevant or whatever. Yeah.
Right, right. But honestly, like my content does the best when I'm
you're
being
just yourself.
Raw, mm-hmm. literally.
Same. Yeah, no, I totally understand that. I do. I love the way you carry yourself. And I've watched a couple of your videos that you've made this past few weeks. And I was just like, I think what the internet is missing these days is that genuineness that you have. Like not everybody's always trying to, like you say, impress everybody. And with you, it's like this: what you see is what you get. If you don't like it, fucking don't let the door hit you on the way out. So
I know.
Love that about you.
Yeah. And it's kind of been like a really hard journey of getting to this point in my life because I did like for a long time really care about what people thought about me.
Yeah.
And like it just took me like it took me getting pushed to the point where I was like, fuck it. Like I'm just going to be whoever the fuck I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And everybody in my life who's like close to me all support me.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're all like cheering me on and encouraging me and like wanting to see me do great things. So why the fuck do I care about these people who I don't even know fucking exist really?
Amen.
Because
yeah.
they're just watching me on the internet. Like you can block me. You can never see me again if you choose to, but you stay and you choose to watch me
and be toxic.
Yeah, no, it's like obviously you like me a little bit. Stick around. Like you're
like,
paying
come here,
my
bitch,
bills.
You
want a
hug? I know you want a hug, bitch.
I know. So.
Totally. Okay, so let's talk about it. So where did you grow up?
So I was actually born and raised in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I lived there for 20 years.
Okay, so you are from North Carolina. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And how was your childhood growing up? Talk to me about it. Because you did get pregnant at 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the childhood a little bit.
Yeah, so my parents had me late in life. I was an only child. And my mom and dad were 40 when they had me. So well, my mom was 40, my dad was 41. And I was the one and only child growing up. So I was kind of like their spoiled little baby. My dad, he played like professional basketball whenever he was younger. So like he became a college coach. That was his job.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was a real estate agent. So like
oh.
we weren't really struggling. We were like middle class or lower middle class. And I had a nice life growing up.
Yeah.
But I definitely do think like when you're an only child, you get so bored.
Mm.
And I really didn't have like, I did have a lot of attention from like my dad, but my mom was always busy working and I was with my grandma a lot. And like, I don't know. I feel like I was always kind of like lonely as a kid and I don't know why. And so as soon as I started getting male attention, you know, when I was like, I had a great childhood, but as soon as I hit like, you know, 12, 13 and I started getting like male attention and these older boys were like starting to show interest to me, that was where I want, like I wanted, I feel like I needed more affection or something.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe that.
I get it. Totally understand it. You remind me a lot of Bailey. Doesn't she remind you of Bailey? Our daughter. You remind me of, that's Jay and I's, it's his daughter, but she's mine too. She's just my little bonus baby.
Mm-hmm.
But you remind me a lot of her too.
I have some bonus babies.
I love that. So hearing that makes me think like, oh my God, is this what she's going through? Because she just turned 14 right now and she's starting to go through some shit. And I'm just like, okay, this makes sense. So keep talking. You're helping me over here.
Well, no, like I feel like when I was younger, I was always taller than all the girls in school. And so I was also like a little bit chubbier and chunkier than all the other girls. And I didn't fit in. Like I was like the weirdo. Like I was the weird kid. Like to be completely honest with you, I was the weird kid. And like I really didn't fit into any like of the girl groups or like make any girlfriends in school. Like I was kind of like the weird kid out and I got bullied a lot in school too. So as soon as I started to get a little pretty and lose a little bit of weight and these boys started
gotta be careful, the internet will come for you.
Let me chill out on that one. When these boys would start giving me attention and like thought that I was pretty, it's something that I had never had before. You know, and so like I really like fell right into that trap. And so when I was 13, like on the weekends, it was like starting in sixth grade, I don't know what my parents were thinking or any of these people's parents were thinking. They used to drop like sixth graders off at the skating rink and leave them from 7 p.m. till 11 p.m. to go like roller skating around. And that's where I met my son's dad. He was 16 and I was 12 at the time, about to be 13. and I got
pregnant. It's a little different. I think a 16-year-old knows what's going on, too.
I think so, too, now that I'm older.
Okay, I didn't know if that has been an issue with you guys, because I don't really know that whole story.
Yeah,
but
I don't, like, looking back, it definitely wasn't, like, it was consensual.
Right, absolutely.
Like, because I wasn't.
But you're 12, and what do you know? Like, I feel like 16, you're a little bit smarter.
Yeah, like, I was in seventh grade, and he was, like, a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a sophomore in high school, I knew what fucking was.
Yeah.
You know, like, I knew what happened. Like, I knew,
yeah,
like, more than,
it's
like, a
12-year-old.
It's almost
like he kind of took advantage of your innocence. I don't know him. I don't know the situation. Right. But from an outsider just hearing that, like, 16 and 12 is kind of
thick a little bit. It's kind of gross. And it wasn't, like, illegal. Like, there was nothing. But the state did look into it. Like, when my son was born, the state did actually look into it. And, like, CPS got involved. I actually just did a story time on TikTok about it.
I did see that. We'll get into that real quick. So let's rewind. Let's go back to the skating rink you met. Okay, what's it? Are we allowed to say his name? Or baby daddy? Baby daddy number one.
Yeah, we can name him, like.
Is he still around?
Well, I mean, he exists, and he's alive and living and breathing.
Oh, okay.
But
yeah.
So yeah, we'll just call him Baby Daddy. So yeah, I met Baby Daddy at the skating rink, and
she's like, I don't even want to give him that title.
Yeah, I don't even want to give him that title. Really, like,
all right, sperm donor.
Yeah, sperm donor. Sperm donor. Mm-hmm, I like that. So yeah, I met him at the skating rink, and we started Kick. Do you know what Kick is? The messenger
app? The old school messenger app.
Yeah, so like that was what we started talking on back in the day, and it was like going back and forth, and I would only get to see him at the skating rinks. Well, then my dad, he was a basketball coach, and his team would travel like around, and he would be gone for weekends and stuff, and I had convinced my mom to let us start like hanging out outside of the skating rink, and my mom was like, no, like he's older, like, you know, like, no. And she did know that he was older, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't think, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, she said, yeah. And, you know, we started hanging out outside, and then we ended up hooking up one of the times that we were hanging out when my dad was gone, you know? Mm-hmm. And it really sucks because I was really like a daddy's girl growing up. Like my dad was my, that sucks because like, I never really thought about it that way. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get emotional, but.
No, you're okay. Breathe. Just
I was
breathe.
Like,
breathe
really?
Into it.
I know.
It's okay to feel that, though. Like, and I'm learning that with my therapist. You don't cut off emotions because that hurts you more. Just let it flow.
Yeah. Like, I was really a daddy's girl growing up. And, like, when I got pregnant, it was almost like my dad didn't even, like, know. He couldn't even, like, believe it. Like, it was almost like a thing where it was like, he thought I was on drugs. Like when I sat him down to tell him, he was like, what, did you get caught with drugs? Like, did you get caught with like, you know, are you in trouble? And I was like, no, like I'm pregnant. And he was like, oh, is this like a joke? Like, oh, you're trying to mess with me, you know? And it was like, no, like this is like literally going on. And it was almost like a, he had almost like no reaction to it because it was like not even the
shocked,
truth. Yeah. And I just remember it was like the awkwardest time of my life because my mom, she was trying to like, you know, console everybody and like make everything okay, and which obviously nothing was okay, but she wanted to go on a walk outside, like the three of us. So we went on this long ass walk and walked around the neighborhood in silence. And it was like, that's how it went, telling my parents that I was pregnant at 13. And honestly, like my dad didn't talk to me, I don't think, for like a month after that, unless it was like mandatory. Like I would go up and talk to him and he just had nothing to say to me.
It's just, I think it was probably you're his baby, and he probably internalized that and was like, what did I do wrong?
You know?
Like, and I think he probably took that really hard. I don't think it had anything to do with you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do like blame my parents, but I really don't think my parents, I know to this, like, I know my parents love me more than anything. Yeah. Like, and they did the best that they could. This is their first time doing life too, just like me. Mm-hmm. Like they are not perfect by any means at all. Like my parents both get on my nerves still to this day, like, oh. But like they're human, and like, I don't blame them for what happened. It's just kind of something that happened, and I made the best out of it.
Yeah,
I did the best that I could with what the cards that I was dealt.
So
you know?
Let's talk about it. So you're 13. You're going into labor. Take me into that day.
Well,
how was the pregnancy? Did sperm donor stick around? Did he make it hell?
No, dude. Literally, oh, God. Like. So, it's crazy because sperm donor. So, he, as soon as I found out that I was pregnant, he was like relatively like okay about it. And I thought, oh, okay, well, this is going to be like, well, that was another thing. At the time, I didn't know whether or not I was going to keep the baby really, because my mom had given me both options. Mm-hmm. So, I obviously, like, at the time, I'm very pro-choice. I'm pro do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. But I chose, like, I could not get rid of my son. Like, I was like, it just feels like I need to have him. Like, aww, for me in my head, like, it just wasn't an option. Mm-hmm. So I decided to move forward. And when I told him, like, hey, I'm having this baby, like, my parents know, like, I'm probably never going to see you again because my dad's probably going to murder you. But he decided to stick around, and like my mom still snuck us around to see each other. He just wasn't allowed at the house, and like my mom still like let us like go eat and like go have like dinner together so that we could see each other. But then he started like went off with his life, kind of, you know, started dating girls at his school and dating girls that were easier to date, you know. And
well, he didn't want to have the responsibility.
Right. So the whole pregnancy, I was literally like having a mental breakdown. I went into preterm labor when I was 33 weeks. I think because of how stressed out I was. That was like the most traumatic time of my life. And I blocked a lot of it out because it was rough. Mm. It was rough. So he came back. He left me and like didn't talk to me, blocked me on everything for majority of the pregnancy. And then
A fucking douchebag.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then right before I had my son and I was like, you know, his due date's approaching, he hits me up and he's like, I really fucked up. Like, I want to get back with you. And of course me, I'm like, I've been waiting, bitch. You know, I've been waiting for you. So
a little baby having a baby.
I know. And it's embarrassing. But I mean, it's the truth.
Embarrassing. You were so young and you didn't know. It is not your fault.
Right. I literally like wanted him more than anything, which is like looking back, like I was so desperate for him, like because I wanted my son to have some sort of like normality, and like I just was desperate for it. Yeah. And so whenever he came back, I was like, oh yeah, come back, like you know, like yeah, we can make this work, like we can try to see what we can do or whatever, like this is when the C-section is gonna be, because I had to get a planned C-section because at the time I was only 13, I wasn't really done growing yet.
Yeah.
So I had a contracted pelvis. Oh. And my son couldn't like fit through my birth canal. So they're like, we're going to go ahead and like schedule you for a C-section because we don't want to risk him getting stuck. And then either something happening to either like, yo, it's just a high risk case. Mm. So we're just going to do the C-section.
Yeah.
So
God, that is a lot, girl, to go through at such a young age, baby. Like, how were you feeling mentally? Like just, like, how did you process it? Did you have anybody that you could talk to? Did your mom help you? Like, did you go to therapy? Did anybody help you work through all that?
Yeah. So at the time, my cousin Corrine, she's 10 years older than me. So she lived right down the street, and she was going through, like, she wasn't pregnant, but she was going through, like, really hard times with her boyfriend who she had been with for a while, and she was, like, madly in love with. And he was, like, cheating on her and, like, being a complete douchebag. So I'm 13 and pregnant. I'm her cousin. I'm like, you know, available all the time. She like leaned in on me. I leaned in on her. She took me on so many adventures when I was pregnant. Aww. To keep my mind, like taking me to like the mall and like to get pedicures and like shopping. Like she
was your angel.
I don't think I would have been able to get through it without her, genuinely. And I don't talk to her that much anymore. And that makes me emotional too. But
you're carrying a lot, Mama.
I know. Yeah. I need to go back to therapy again. Shit, I need another therapist. I'm already in therapy.
Listen, baby, I'm going to a therapy camp in March, so don't even play.
Therapy
doesn't end. Oh, yeah, for sure. They have them out here in Nashville. I'll tell you about it if you ever want
to
go. It's a week-long trauma thing where you go for 6 days, you turn your phone off, and you just work on yourself. Because I'm telling you, baby, that shit is fucking... It's priceless to be able to work through all the shit you've been through. And I can tell you're still hurting really bad.
I'm sorry. Look at me.
And if we had a napkin, I would give you one, but we don't. I'm so sorry. I got Chachi. You want to wipe your tears with Chachi?
This is washable and reusable and recyclable.
So we got toilet paper. That's what we're working with here. We are trailer park around here, okay?
Oh, me too. So it's cool.
Good. I just want to hug you, baby. Gosh. Here's some stuff for your tears.
I really didn't think I was gonna cry, or I wouldn't have paid to get my hair and makeup done today.
No,
genuinely,
you're
like,
good.
Swear to God.
And you know what? Listen, that's just part of your genuineness. And I think that's why people love you so much, because you're not fucking here to just be this Billy badass. Like, you have pain that you're fucking still working through.
Yeah.
And I think that's so admirable that you can wear your heart on your sleeve like that. So
I think that people think that like I am faking it, or like that's the majority, like people think that I'm putting on a persona or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of people think that is because I don't really talk about how much I'm hurting online.
Yeah. Well, you like, can't. Yeah. People eat that up. They fucking use it against you.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's, you know.
Yeah. I don't
And also, who wants to fucking cry in a camera?
No, you know?
Like, yeah, like I understand there's every now and then you need to fucking have a good cry, which I never have yet. But if there's some people who like to cry on the camera a lot, and I just don't understand it, you know, like,
yeah, like when I'm crying, that's like the last time I want to post a video. Like,
yeah,
genuinely. Yeah, like, honestly, sure.
I think that's more real than anything, you know.
Yeah. But so I'm just doing my best.
So let's take me to your delivery. You're going in for delivery. Baby daddy called, said he wants to get back together.
Yeah. So my son's dad, like a week before my son was supposed to be born, comes, swoops back in, and he wants to be in the room for the C-section. And there's only one person allowed in the room because it's like an operating room or whatever. And my dad was the one who wanted to be back there.
Aww.
And I chose.
Dad warmed up to you during the pregnancy.
Yeah.
And was like,
yeah.
Okay.
He was really supportive. Yeah. Aww. My dad was really supportive.
Go
once
dad.
He got over
love
it.
That.
Yeah. He used to take me to ultrasound appointments and buy me snacks and food. And like, he was honestly great. Like,
we love dad.
Once he actually like got over it, like it was great. But
yay,
good. I could only pick one person to go in the C-section room with me, and it was between baby daddy and my dad, and I picked my baby daddy like an idiot. So he went back there with me and like was able to like watch, you know, my son be born and all that stuff. I wish I would have picked my dad.
That's okay though.
Yeah, and I know that my dad doesn't like resent me for that or anything like that, but I do wish that I would have picked my dad or like my mom or somebody else because
he
I think that
deserve
they,
that.
Yeah, I don't think that he did deserve that.
Yeah.
I don't think that he did. And my son, like, literally is one of the best kids in the entire world. Like, and I know that's biased, like every mom says, but like my son is like so sensitive and he has emotions and he's in, I'm sorry.
You're okay. You don't have to apologize.
He's just like such an asshole for like not getting his shit together. Still 9 years later, even after me allowing him to be around still, even after everything that he's done to me, there's an open line of communication. Like my son has his own phone, still doesn't call, still doesn't pick up the damn phone. And it's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, this is the best kid ever. He's smart, kind, sweet, caring. He's in touch with his emotions. He's like awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And he just doesn't care. He's just had a new baby, you know, got married, has a new family. And it's like, hey.
Yeah, just forget about the one that you started with.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, I keep getting off track.
No, you're fine. You're totally, that's what the podcast is all about. And that's why I always try to rope you back in. You know, some men just don't get it and they're never going to get it. And you're never going to get the apology or the person that you want. So it's like, you know, your baby boy has you and that's all that fucking matters. He's got Mama Bear who loves the fuck out of him. And you know, I know it sucks not having dad around, but it's probably for the best because he might hurt him more just being around.
Oh,
he
yeah.
doesn't seem like the type of human that can, you know, keep a relationship going. So
the consistency.
Yeah.
And that's
exactly.
what's important is the consistency. And it's like either like be involved or don't be involved. But
yeah.
like you being in and out is kind of a problem because then it's like, when is my dad going to call? Like, where is my dad? Like, what's going on? When can
yeah.
I see him? And it's like, I don't have these answers, dude. Like, he doesn't talk to me. Like, I don't know what to say. You
How
know?
Old is he now?
He's nine.
Oh, I'm nine.
Yeah. So he's like, he's so smart. It's
yeah.
crazy. He's like his whole own human with his whole own personality. And it's crazy how fast kids just grow up.
Yeah. So you're what? Hold on. I'm trying to do the math here. You're 20.
I'm 22.
22. Yeah. You're still a baby yourself, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much life to live, girl. It's crazy.
It's insane.
And you've already lived like a full fucking life.
I know.
That's amazing.
Right now with these braces, like I get them off in 2 weeks and I'm honestly, I cannot be happier because I look like a child sometimes and I'm going through life with four kids and married and all that stuff. And like people do not take me seriously. And I think it's the rainbows too, though. Like I do it to my damn self, you know, like,
no, just always be you. Who gives a fuck? They'll take you serious. Just let whatever it is you're doing speak for itself. People will respect you no matter what. They'll have to respect you. So let's take it back. So you just gave birth. You're in the hospital bed. Take me from there.
So yeah, they, the first thing that they do when you go in to get a C-section is they make you sign all the paperwork, and then they bring you back like to this like prepping thing where you put like this like shower cap on and lay you down, and they shaved my coochie for me.
Wow.
And yeah, it was that's really nice. I never had that done before.
I need to go have a kid then. Get my coochie shaved.
It's way cheaper to do it at a salon or something. Right. But yeah, so they did that, and then they wheeled me back to like the actual like operating room. Or no, they wheeled me to another room to get my spinal tab. Mm. And
those scare me. God.
No, dude, it made my whole leg go numb. I was freaking out.
Can't do it.
Literally, it was so bad. Then I started going numb, and once I started going numb, they put the catheter in, and all of a sudden, the doctor had said that I was going to feel like an elephant, like sitting on my chest or something, and I did, and that was them like pushing my son out of the incision, and then he was born, and I heard him start crying, and he was into the world. Aww. I was a mom.
And how did you feel like everything was worth it at that moment that you had gone through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like a surreal moment for me. And I don't really know why, like, I have blocked some of that out. Like, when I, I don't know why. And that bothers me, too. But, like, when I think back to that, like, I blocked so much of that out. And I think that it was because, like, I was in that moment, like, fight or flight. Like, yeah. But I had to go, you know? And it's, like, I'm one of those people who I'm very good at, like, masking my emotions. Yeah. Like, so my parents were already so freaked out about me going in to have a C-section. My mom was like, you know, having a panic attack, like her 13-year-old daughter is going in to have a major surgery.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like my whole life, I've always had to put like a poker face on to make everybody else around me happy, you know, or make comfort everybody. So I felt like I was the one trying to comfort my parents in that moment, being like, everything's gonna be okay. Like, see, I'm not even worried. But inside I was like,
scared.
Yeah, I was scared.
And you didn't have anybody to kind of comfort the little girl in you.
Yeah, and I feel like I never even allowed that little girl to even come out, because she was always like so pushed down by other people, like always hurting me my whole life almost. And I don't even know if that's the right way to describe it, but that's just, you know, what's coming out of my head, but you know.
So take me, okay, so you have the baby. Do you go and you stay with your parents after this?
Yeah, so okay. After I had my son, we were in the hospital for like literally like almost 5 days.
Wow.
I don't know why they kept us so long, because with my daughter, they didn't keep us that long. But they kept me for quite a while. And then they got us, once we got discharged from the hospital, I went back and lived with my parents. Okay. So we were living like in a 2-bedroom, like townhouse type of thing. Mm-hmm. And me and my son had our room and my parents had theirs. And mm-hmm. that's just how we lived. Yeah.
Did you keep going to school and stuff?
So I got pregnant at the end of my 7th grade year, and I finished the school year out at the school I was attending. Mm-hmm. And then 8th grade, my dad, he was already like he has his master's degree. So he pulled me out and started homeschooling me with a Christian, Christian curriculum. And I took Bible class and stuff. It was really fun.
Was it though?
Yeah, it was like, it was
so
just,
on top of all the other trauma you have religious trauma.
Oh,
too.
Fuck yeah, I have religious trauma. No. Out the ass.
Really?
Oh yeah, my parents were pretty Bible belt. I grew up in the church, mm-hmm. Lafayette Baptist Church.
Wow.
That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. And every single, like, you know, Wednesday, Sunday, we would go out with, like, church friends. That's mm-hmm. where I met my best friend of 20 years.
Yep.
Was in church. Mm-hmm. So when I got pregnant at 13, you better believe everybody in that church had something to say about
it. So it's like you had to, not only did you have to deal with feeling like you let your parents down and your dad down, you had to deal with everybody else having a fucking opinion about you too.
Oh,
kind of
yeah.
like how it is on the internet now too for you.
Yeah, but I think that's why I'm like so okay with it.
Yeah.
And that's why I do so well with it. It's because my whole life, everybody's been talking shit about me.
Yeah.
So
you might as well just fucking make it into gold. Yeah.
I've literally made it this far. I can keep going.
Yeah.
You know, so it was hard. It was hard.
Did you graduate from the Christian school, or how did that go?
6th grade was my last year. I did go to Christian school. Mm-hmm. 6th grade was my last year attending the Christian school. I got kicked out for getting a belly button piercing. My mom let me get my belly button pierced. And you know what's so fucking
mom
funny?
Mom seems to be the common denominator in some of your bad decisions. We love mom, but come on, mom.
We do love mom. Love mom. I'm looking at you if you can see this. But yeah, we do love mom. But yeah, she did allow me to get my belly button pierced. And I went but to school.
I can't believe they kicked you out for that, though.
No. Well,
I got kicked out of my Christian school for spray painting my name on the back wall. But it wasn't real spray paint. It was fucking snow, the fake snow. I thought it would disappear. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. So don't ever fucking spray paint a fucking brick wall with snow because it'll be there. And don't do it in your name.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, no, me either. I did it though.
Holy crap. But yeah, they what was I gonna say?
They kicked you out for your belly button being pierced.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, so I had posted a picture after I got my belly button pierced on Facebook. Why did I have a Facebook in sixth grade? I don't know. But I posted a picture of it on Facebook, and my principal, like one of the teachers, had seen it, or one of the kids was a snitch, and someone snitched on me, right? Right. So I go back to school, and the principal calls me into her office, and she's like, "Lift up your shirt." And I'm like, "What?" Like, and so I did, and she was like, "That needs to come out now. That's not appropriate. Like, all this, and the third." Calls my mom. We have to set up like a meeting at the school about it. My mom tells me, "Take it out. Like, I'm not dealing with this." I kept putting it back in. And like, they would do random belly button checks at school. Like, they would literally like pull me out of class.
I feel
to
like
see.
That would never fly nowadays.
I think that's illegal.
Yeah, I feel like that would never fly.
They would like call me out of class and take me to the principal's office to check on my belly button.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's kind of fucking freaky, dude.
Yeah, it's definitely weird. And this wasn't junior high. This was high school.
Yeah, oh, sixth grade.
Okay, this was sixth grade, and then your dad pulled you out in eighth grade.
Yeah, so sixth grade was my last year. Got kicked out of Christian school. Went to public school seventh grade. Got pregnant.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
When my Christian school principal kicked me out of school, she said, "You're gonna end up pregnant."
Oh no.
Or something. Literally. Rub that in my face, Tammy.
Oh, but damn it.
Yeah, dude, it was. It was, so I went to seventh grade, was public school, and then that's when I got pregnant. Yeah. And then eighth grade, my dad pulled me out and homeschooled me.
Okay, so did you homeschool all through high school?
No, I homeschooled for eighth grade, had my son. He was like 6 months old, and I had like he was 6 months old whenever I went to like public high school.
Okay.
Was when I started
my ninth
grade.
Okay, so you did
year.
Go back to public school. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And then I finished high school, like homeschool, community college type of thing, like Yay. Online program. And I finished my last 2 years of school in one, and I graduated a year early.
Yay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you. So when did you have your daughter? Was that recently or?
So after I graduated high school when I was 17, I went into the military. So I went active duty.
That's on my notes right here.
I went active duty. I was a mechanic in the Army for a couple years. And that's when I met my husband. And I was in the Army for about 2 years. And then I got pregnant with my daughter.
That's amazing that you went off to the Army. You were just like, fuck it. I'm going to go to the Army and be a badass bitch.
Yeah, well, it was mainly about health insurance.
Yeah.
Honestly.
She's like, I did have an agenda.
Yeah, it was like mainly about health insurance. Like, I really like health insurance is really not affordable. And I'm really like thankful that I can afford it now.
But like most people wouldn't think to go into the fucking Army, you know, like that's crazy. Is that something that you did want to do? Like, or were do you really feel like you were forced into doing it?
I was sleeping with a lot of Army men at the time my teenage years.
Gotcha.
And so... Yeah,
she's like fuck it. If can't beat him, might as well join him.
Yeah, so I was like, fuck it, I'll join the Army. I was already
in Fayetteville too, for sure. Yeah,
dude. Yeah, I was honestly like, that's what I'm saying. I had a kid at 13, and then have been on a path of like, I feel like unstable relationships since then. And like, literally, like, I don't know what my problem is, but yeah.
Well, maybe childhood trauma. You know, that you got to work through.
Yeah. And you know, what's crazy is like, whenever I say like, oh, I have childhood trauma, my parents are like, childhood trauma. Like, there's no, you can't have trauma.
You can have the most perfect life and you're still going to have some sort of trauma. Everybody has it. If fucking, you know, we're not minimizing, maximizing anybody's trauma. It doesn't matter where you came from. Shit's fucked up. The world's fucked up.
Yeah.
Know, shit happens. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just shit you got to work through.
It's just like stuff that happened. And that's why, like, you know, when I talk about my issues and stuff, it like with my parents, I feel like when I'm talking about things or like feelings that I'm having, they always think that I'm trying to like blame them for something. And it's like, no, I'm not trying to blame you. I'm just like reflecting on this because like for some reason it's a thought that keeps coming up, you know, like. And for me, like, I like to talk about, like, if something's in my head, like, I got to get it out or else I'm going to go crazy.
Yeah.
I do think that, like, if you're not in therapy, everybody should go to therapy. Like,
yeah,
you know,
totally.
Everyone should go, even if you don't have issues.
Absolutely. I agree. So you went into the Army. You meet your second baby daddy,
mm-hmm.
who take me on that journey.
Yeah. So I was 18 when I met my husband, and he was 25, and he was in the process of getting a divorce. We met on Tinder. We were both like swiping on Tinder, you know. Mm-hmm. We matched, and whenever I first met my husband, like, I honestly thought that we were just gonna like hook up because he really wasn't my type. Well, I hate to say that because he is my type, you know, but yeah. he wasn't really, I was going for people who were like, you know, just like casual, and he was kind of looked like he was looking for something more serious. And we hooked up. I tried to ghost him, and he had texted me like trying to hang out. I ghosted him again, like didn't want to hang out with him. Then he texted me. He was like asking me for car wash recommendations because I'm from Fayetteville, right? And I know all the good car washes. So I sent him one to one that was closed down, closed down, not in business. And he like called me and he was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you, dude?" And I was like, "You can't like take a hint, bro. Like I'm not interested. Like stop hitting me up." Well, then from that.
Did you send him to one that was closed down on purpose?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I thought it was an accident.
I was kind of a bitch back then. Like when I was 18, I was hell on wheels. Yeah.
That's so hilarious.
He called me. He was like, "What the fuck? Like you sent me to like a abandoned car wash on purpose?" I was like, "Yeah, like whatever." So we started.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. But after that, we like kind of started vibing because he thought it was kind of funny. And like, you know, he thought I was just fucking with him. He thought it was cute. And I was like, okay, like you think my crazy's cute? Like whatever. So we went to Target together. And ever since then, we've kind of been like inseparable. We were both really into like going to the gym and we were both in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of just like started coexisting together. And that's just how it's been since then. Like
is
literally.
That Cody?
Yeah, it's okay, Cody.
Awesome. So yeah. I did my research a little bit. That's amazing. So he's like your BFF. You guys have one daughter together?
Yeah, we have one daughter together. And then he has two kids with his ex-wife.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I love that. That's how it happens though. Like when you don't plan on being with somebody, you always fucking end up with them. That's how it was with my husband. I tried to one night stand him and it fucking, here we are 7 years later. And yeah. He's my best fucking friend. Like love him to the moon. So.
And that's the thing is like, people have seen like ups and downs of me and Cody online and like I wish I would have never fucking talked about shit on the internet. Why did I do that? But it's like now it's out there and I can't take it back. And they're like, oh, like nobody knows what the fuck is going on behind
they
the don't. Scene.
They only know what you show them.
Yeah. Like you don't fucking know. Like Cody cheated on her. She cheated on him. Who fucking cares? Like we both did. We both done cheated. Like what do you want us to do now? Like we're choosing to try to make things work. We're choosing to try to like, we're both like kind of fucked up. He has a lot of trauma he hasn't worked on. I have a lot of trauma I haven't worked on.
That's probably why you guys mesh, trauma bonding too.
Genuinely, I think that, and we're both at the point in our lives where we're both in therapy, like actively in therapy. And my husband is 30 years old, never been to therapy, never wanted to talk about his feelings. I have heard this man talk about his feelings more in the past month than in the past 5 years I've been married to him.
Are you guys doing like marriage counseling?
Not together yet. He's like kind of like start like, because he was really uncomfortable about even talking to a therapist in the first place. So he's kind of doing his own thing and like first, and I'm doing my own thing. And then hopefully a little bit down the line, we can kind of do something together.
When did you get out of the army then and take me from there?
I got out of the army in, I got out of the army end of 2019.
Okay.
Yes.
And then so you and Cody both got out and kept moving forward?
Yeah. So he got out a little bit before me and then he continued. Well, he was trying to get out of the army and move back to where we live now, which is like the Cincinnati, Ohio area, because that's where his ex-wife and his kids were living.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to move back home because he wanted to be with his kids. But he got out and there was a couple more months until I was getting out because I was getting out on a pregnancy chapter.
Okay.
And so he waited until I, you know, got out and had the baby and stuff. And then my daughter was like a month old and we made the move up to Northern Kentucky. And that's where we've been for the past 3 years.
Yay. And then what are you guys doing out there? Just living life? She's like, where do I start?
I mean, holy crap. I feel like I'm running a circus out there, honestly. Like genuinely, like running a circus.
What's going on?
So we've like moved 3 times in the past year. My dad moved up from North Carolina. He like retired, so he's living
where's
mom? My mom I'm still in North Carolina. My parents are fucking nuts, dude. That's what I'm saying. Like, at this point in my life, I feel like I'm raising my damn parents. Like,
right.
My dad retired early, and he's living in my condo that I have. He's rent-free. He's living the life up yeah. there, retired, okay?
He's like, yeah, he's like, it's your turn to take care of me now, kid.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, my dad, he's going and getting bourbon at all these bourbon, because we're in Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
And bourbon's good, I guess. Mm. He's getting bourbon everywhere. My mom's in North Carolina still doing real estate. Mm-hmm. My mom just on a Tuesday sells her house and gets an apartment. My dad has to go down there and help her move. Like, I'm running a tie-dye studio.
Are they split?
Or no, they're not split.
They're just
insane.
Okay.
They're just crazy. Like, I don't even
I'm
know.
Not even gonna ask.
Well, it's so my dad, he retired early because ever since COVID happened and all the yeah. colleges and sports like had to put all the regulations on yeah. everything, my dad got so depressed.
Aww.
And my dad and my mom, you have to remember, they helped me raise my kid.
Right.
So my dad and my dad is practically my son's dad. Mm. I mean, like, literally has helped me raise him through and through. Like, both Aww. Of my parents have,
He's
you know.
He's so close with him.
Oh, yeah. So my dad, after we moved up here, my dad got really depressed and, like, he didn't have me or my son anymore.
Yeah.
Basketball
you gave
wasn't
him
the
a
same.
Purpose.
Yeah. Yeah. We do. Yeah. We
and
genuinely
you guys need
do.
Him. He needs to feel like he's needed.
Yeah. So, he decided, you know, after COVID kind of ruined everything for basketball and he was depressed, he was like, I'm going to retire early and I'm going to move up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I started moving all over the place, trying to find a different house for us to live in. That was a nightmare. And then my dad went and lived in our condo that we had. So
I love it. They sound like my kind of people. So let's talk about this t-shirt business that you have.
So t-shirts. Yeah. I started like drawing these stickers with one of my friends, like, back in the beginning of 2021
mm-hmm.
or 2020, I don't remember when it was, but the stickers turned into me making tie-dye t-shirts. But we're actually about to open up a storefront now too.
Yay.
So like, we're gonna have an in-person experience anyways.
Oh, you're gonna have so many people going through there because you have so many people who love you.
I'm having a panic attack.
It's gonna be like a meet and greet every day for you.
I know, I'm kind of excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I know,
it'll be awesome.
I'm having a panic attack about it. So okay,
no,
but
you're good.
I know. Yeah, so we, my mother-in-law and I, we started tie-dyeing t-shirts in the garage. Just, like, we wanted to make, like, these buddy shirts. It was, like, a stony, like, marijuana leaf.
Right.
And we wanted to put it on a shirt. And so we came up, we drew the design on our iPad, and, like, we're so proud of this, like, shirt we created. And mm-hmm. we were going to hand tie-dye all of them. And they sold out, like,
wow,
so fast.
Yay.
And so me and my mother-in-law were like, well, that was fun as fuck. Like, let's keep doing it. So mm-hmm. we kept doing it, and people really like tie-dye. Like, people talk so much shit, like, tie-dye is out of style. I don't think tie-dye will ever
people,
go out of style.
Everybody wears tie-dye, yeah.
Yeah, it could be, like, dark colors,
neutrals.
It's been around
since the fucking 70s.
Yeah, literally, yeah. like, and even if you don't like it, like, you could have, like, a tie-dye something or a jammy shirt or whatever the fuck. You know, tie-dye is, it's happy, okay? I like
yeah.
colors. So, we just started selling t-shirts, and it's turned into now I have like the back of one of my friend's nail salons. I rent the back of that out in like an alley, and that's our tie-dye shop. So mm-hmm. we have like, we spent like $15,000 like renovating this like literal hole in the wall and turned it into like
a
this
business.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It was pretty crazy.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you're doing. I think the energy that you're putting out in the world is coming back to you. You know, like, you're just trying to do right, and it's coming back tenfold.
I'm trying.
You're doing good.
Thank you.
Okay, so when did you get on TikTok?
2020.
I feel like everybody and their mom got on TikTok in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you got take me on that journey with TikTok.
Well, I mean, like, I messed around with TikTok in like 2018, like, I, you know, whatever, but I didn't start like actually like posting consistently until I was I moved up to Kentucky, and I was staying at home through COVID with four kids at 19, 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so bored and like depressed, and like mm-hmm. I was breastfeeding my daughter. She breastfed for like 2 years, so that really like literally sucked the life out of me. But yeah, so what was I gonna say?
TikTok.
Oh yeah,
TikTok. She's like squirrel.
So I started making TikTok videos with my kids like throughout COVID, because I was stuck at, like, my husband was working at the time, like, full time, and so was his ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids would be with me because I was a stay-at-home mom, home with the baby already.
Do you get along with his ex-wife?
Yeah, for the most
good.
Part. Like, me and
yeah.
her, like, we're good. Like, sometimes she'd be coming at me crazy, but for the most part, we're good. Like,
yeah.
there's no issues.
Yeah.
I'm definitely never going to cause an issue with her, and she doesn't want issues either, so we're
yeah.
you know, baseline. So
I love that.
Yeah,
that's
me
amazing.
Too. It's good for the kids,
absolutely.
They
yeah.
deserve to see, like, I always, like, that's what I always tell her, is that, like, I want the kids to see us be happy.
Yes.
Like, you know, I want them to be happy.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, squirrel. I don't know.
We were talking about you were at home getting the life sucked out of your titties, mm-hmm. and you hopped on TikTok.
Yeah, so I hopped on TikTok, and my kids liked making TikTok videos with me. Mm-hmm. And so we would make, like, dance videos, and, like, my stepdaughter and I would make, like, these skits of us, like, doing all sorts of things. And my video started getting, like, tractions, and my video started getting traction, and I just kept posting, like, and then I started, like, talking. And it was, as soon as I started talking and not using sounds anymore, that's when I just blew up. Like, yeah. It was, like, almost overnight. I went from having like 10K to like 600K.
Yeah.
And then it went from me having 600K to me getting banned on TikTok entirely.
They fucking do that all the time, man.
Yeah. So I just restarted a new account, and within literally 2 days, that account that I started got 1 million followers.
Wow.
In 2 days.
Wow.
I don't even know how that's possible.
That's
and
crazy.
I still, like, have the screenshots of it.
Yeah.
And everything, because I remember, like, taking screenshots throughout the night of being like, this isn't even fucking possible.
You have a crazy cult following. Like, when I get on my lives and fucking just say, well, who should I bring on the podcast? I mean, I'm talking like Gabby. I didn't even know who you were.
I know.
And but we had never crossed, you know,
yeah.
TikTok FYPs. So I'm like, who is Gabby? And then they started tagging me in that one video that you made, and they were like, she needs to come on the podcast. And then I kind of went down the wormhole, and I was like, I like this chick. I like her vibes, you know.
Well, please don't hate me, but before I got invited on this podcast, I really didn't know you were. And then you invited me on, and I was like, okay, Bunny, I'm gonna go down this rabbit hole. And so, dude, you can totally edit this out if you want, but yeah. I thought that you were 28 years old.
Oh, I love that.
29.
No, keep it in.
No.
Do not edit that.
I thought that you were like 28, 29. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And my husband was asking me questions. He's like, oh, Jelly Roll's wife or whatever. Like, that's so cool. Like, you know. And he was like, how the fuck do you not know who these people are? Like, what the fuck is, like, are you living under a fucking rock? Well, anyways.
No, it's so weird how TikTok is. We just never crossed FYPs.
Yeah.
Now you're all over it. Now you're all over mine. So it's like, you know, it's
now
crazy.
You're all over mine too. I think it's ever since I followed you though.
Yeah.
That now you're all over mine. But yeah, it's pretty insane.
Yeah, but no, I'm not. I'm 43. So.
No, dude, I Googled, like, how old is, or no, I didn't Google that. I said BunnyXO. I was Googling you.
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. Sneaky. but I was Googling you, and it said all your facts about you, and I was like,
which aren't facts. I don't know who makes those pages.
You're not 5'9".
No.
How tall are you?
I'm 5'5", 5'6".
Yeah, because, like, I said 5'9", and I was like, shh, 5'9"? Holy crap. That's my height, you know?
Yeah, no. And, I mean, I wouldn't mind being 5'9", but, like, I don't know who does the online shit or where they get it from. They fucking said my dad's name is like Bill Spills, and I'm like, that is really cool, but no, that's not his name. Like, there's so many things. I think we need to do a TikTok of, like, things that are online that we like think, you know, like, we should do that today after we get done.
You
just
do
like
that.
Squashing rumors, you know. There's one page that says I've had a facelift, cheek implants, fucking a blepharoplasty, and I'm like, not yet.
What's
but
a
I will
pa-
where you get like the skin above your eyes cut, like, just crazy shit. And I'm like, dude, I've had fucking lip filler, eye filler, and fucking Botox. Like, it's just crazy the shit that people come up with, you know?
Yeah, they will make up anything that they can.
Yeah, no, it's nuts. Okay, so we got off track, but okay, so you got on TikTok in 2020, you gained 2 million followers in 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and then you just took it from there, like, because you do have this crazy fucking cult following. Like, it's nuts. Like, you could post anything and it's 1 million views.
I didn't realize I had a cult following, honestly, until recently. And I know that the views and stuff have been there and stuff, and, like, the followers have been there. But mm-hmm. also, like a lot of other creators talk about, I do get stagnant. So, like, I'll start losing followers and, like, mm-hmm. all that stuff. But, like, I didn't realize how cult my following was until mm-hmm. Recently.
Yeah.
Where I've noticed that I have to really start watching what I say.
Yeah.
And really make sure that I'm not talking about people. Really make sure that I'm not talking about people in any, like, negative light, because
right.
people can take that. So,
I mean, even if you say something positive about somebody, they'll still fucking twist it and be like, she was being, what's the word, snarky.
Right.
And, you know, like, all that shit. And I can't fuck it. They've done that to me. And the internet, like, love you, but hate you at the same time. It's like, there's just those people on there who nitpick everything you do. And you know, it's like it gets to a point where you're like in a glass, you know, and you don't know which direction to go because people are always going to twist whatever you say.
Yeah, you don't know what to do. You're like, yeah, should I do this? Should I post this? Should I not post this? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no matter what I do, I'm fucked. So I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want to do. Exactly. You know?
Did something recently happen that...
I don't even know. Well, I mean, like recently, like I've had like a lot of like friend drama that hasn't been online. Like I've just had like a lot of like of my friends be just like really shitty recently. And that's nothing that I'm like going to go into real depth about. Yeah. But I have like people do not know what the fuck is going on behind the scenes. Mm-mm. Okay. No. People don't. And people love to say that I'm the drama and that I love drama. But I really am the quietest person. Like, I have some, like, really shady shit going on in my life right now. Mm. And I don't even know how to deal with it. And, like, people online are, like, nitpicking at things and, like, trying to, like, bring things up. And it's, like, filtering comments.
Does that... Oh, yes. Can we please talk about this? Every fucking creator filters their comments. Every big creator filters their comments because I had to turn my filters on for the first time ever fucking and delete comments when I was going through the drama this last week. And people were like, oh, she's filtering her comments. She's deleting her comments. Damn fucking straight I am.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with your fucking weird toxicity energy. Like it's weird.
Yeah. You have to go through and read that shit. It's not good for you.
Yeah.
If you don't want
mental health. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think that, okay, I also, just like you said, I haven't started like filtering comments until recently, but it's just
gotten worse like in the last fucking like month or two. Like
yeah,
it's crazy how bad TikTok's gotten, dude.
But it's just because it's honestly just because it's annoying.
Yeah,
it's like yeah. Why, like, if you don't want to, like, just don't comment. Yeah. Like, don't leave this shit here for everybody else to read. Like, fuck.
I think I saw a video that you posted the other day and you were talking about like your friend hasn't been in your videos or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they're like coming for you. Is that what you're talking about? The drama in your life?
Oh yeah.
Right now?
Well, yeah. So like we've had like a bunch of like shady shit go on, like between me, Olivia and Jacinda. And like other couple of people who have been involved with it too. But it's like, obviously, like, you know, people go through rough patches in friendships and stuff like that. But it's like, people will like connect me to somebody. And if they're not in my video anymore, or yeah, like, it's like, where is this person? And it's like, they have a whole nother TikTok account. Like,
yeah, go ask them.
Yeah, if you're worried about Olivia, go ask her. She just posted like 2 hours ago. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know. I feel like it's just because I need to start like focusing a lot more energy like towards myself and like my small circle, like, which yeah, is like what's in my house, like the right people that are in my house.
That's your family.
Yeah, those are the people who... As long as the people who are in my house and then the people who are in my circle, like my small circle right outside of my house are good, I don't need to fucking give a fuck about everybody else.
Amen, sister.
And I think that's where like a lot of my issues are coming from, are from taking these outside voices from other people and like letting it fuck up, mm-hmm, you know, my personal life shit.
Which is easy to do. Yeah. Because people will make you start thinking shit and you're just like, what is this real? Who am I? You know?
Yeah, literally I've been going through kind of like an existential. I always say that, like existential. What does that
crisis
even mean?
Don't put me on the spot like that. I think it's like, so it's like something like big, like life changing, right? Yeah. Now I gotta fucking Google it. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. You're good. I'm like, God damn it. Hold on. How do you even spell that? Here we go. Define existential. The climate crisis and an existential threat to the world, concerned with existence.
Yeah. Me.
Affirming or implying the existence of a thing. Yeah. Okay. So another word for existential is verifiable. So if that helps anything. But yeah, everybody, that's a welcome to your English fucking class today.
Yeah, I still don't know what this
me either. I still didn't understand it. I'm just going to go with what I said. And I think it's like life changing and big. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going through some sort of crisis that's making you want to change. Speaking of crisis, can we talk about your arrest in Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Girl, I still wish I knew. So... Yeah, I mean, like, I'm open to talking about it now that I'm not getting charged with two felonies. Like,
oh, shit.
I was
and
really...
I wanted to tell you, Bucky Buchanan and fucking Jack Buchanan, that they used to be my lawyers. They're amazing in Vegas.
Dude, honestly, Jack...
So good.
Jack Buchanan, he mm-hmm was my attorney in yeah my case.
Bucky's his dad. I think his dad passed away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, Jack, whoever, he literally was a killer attorney.
No, he's like, amazing. Shout out Jack Buchanan, man. Yeah. He's amazing. For if you ever need a really good lawyer in Vegas, go to Jack Buchanan, because that motherfucker got me out of a lot of shit.
Yeah, same. But yeah. I was in.
And James Levitt. I've had a few lawyers out there, but.
Because you live in Vegas part time, right?
Yeah, well, I'm from Vegas. I actually grew up there, so.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I never have been to Vegas before. My first time ever going to Vegas was my husband and I's 3-year wedding, or I don't remember what year it was, but it was in 2021. And so we go out to Vegas for our anniversary, and we stayed at the Cosmopolitan, and it was so nice, and we got a nice room, and we started drinking, like, immediately when we got there, like, 9 a.m., and drank all day. And I mean, I drank so much that day and I was fine. Went to bed at like 10 p.m. because we had been up early drinking, and woke up the next day, ate a big breakfast, like huge breakfast at this buffet, the Wicked Spoon. And then after that, we started going to like put our bathing suits on to go to like this pool club called the Marquee Pool Club.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And anyways, so we go in there. I had two drinks, two sex on the beaches. Okay. I don't even think I finished the second one. I, in the pool somewhere, black out and wake up in a straitjacket in jail in intake.
Oh, no.
And I genuinely, people think that I'm lying whenever I say I don't remember that. I'm not getting charged with anything. Like,
yeah.
I could literally be like, I lied. Like, it doesn't matter. They can't, like, re-pull it up or anything. Like,
yeah.
The case, like, it's dismissed. I don't
What did they take you to jail for? Did they tell you?
So, no. Like, yeah. I mean, they told me after, obviously, but... They told me that I was initially, I've seen the security footage from the Cosmopolitan.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Definitely should have been taken to jail. I agree with them. Right. But yeah, I've seen
What were you doing?
I was running from them.
Oh.
Faster.
But why were you running? You just didn't know?
In a thong.
Oh, nice. Bikini. I would pay to see that footage.
I could. Honestly, I'm so glad that I don't even have a copy of that footage.
But what were you running for? You just fucking, did you do something?
I don't know. Well, oh, okay. So they said that they initially, security called the police because I was trespassing and I had gotten into an altercation with somebody at the pool. Mm. And then they kicked me out. Apparently I was screaming and being disorderly at the pool. Right. And then they kicked me out. So after security,
who
like
was with you? Nobody saw
my husband was with me.
What, Cody, what the fuck happened?
I know he still feels so bad about this. Like, he honestly has never forgiven himself. But so we were having drinks, and there was this group of guys and group of girls, and there was a couple guys, couple girls. And like the girls had like kind of made friends with me, and like we went to the bathroom together and we're like joking around and stuff, and they were trying to make plans with me to do something later that evening because mm-hmm. they had like tickets to something. And during that same time that all that had happened, my husband was like caught up in a group of guys that were talking to him. And then I like went back to the pool area and got in the pool, and that's the last thing that I remember.
You just probably got lit. They might have that, or somebody might have put something in your drink.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I only had two drinks and I don't remember anything, and I was fighting people, and like
this is why I don't drink anymore, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
like, especially from bars, you can't trust anybody. Bartenders fucking roofie people now.
I think that it was because I have never like blacked out like that from alcohol before. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gotten like really drunk, but like I remember what I do. Like, I can be crazy, and I don't know like what happened, but yeah. That was crazy. They tried to book me, or they said that they were initially going to just book me on trespassing, but they booked me on felony battery on police officer.
Oh.
Two charges of that, two counts of felony battery on a police officer for
makes
kicking
sound
them
like
the testicles.
A thug.
And I was like, bad. I was crying in there, bitch.
Oh, girl, we all cry when we go to jail. We all cry when we get caught.
They didn't give me a phone call at all.
Oh, they were trying to teach you a lesson.
They did. Girl, they taught me a good one. I'm never going back to Vegas. Well, yeah.
Aww,
I am.
You got
to
come back. Come
I'm
back
going
with
back.
Me.
I know. Yeah, I need to go back to Vegas for sure. My husband and I have been talking about it just because I had one bad experience.
Yeah, you got
to
go experience it again because we love Vegas. We fall in love with Vegas every time we go back. You know, like, I don't want to live there ever again, but visiting, I'm just like, oh.
But what okay. if they ban me from the strip for life? Can
they won't. It's yeah. That's called being blackballed, and it's very rare. The only people that they do that to are people who are scamming the casinos.
Oh, so the paper that they gave me with a map that said you are banned from the strip is kind of a bunch of baloney?
Well, so if they did 86 you...
Bunny said, I'm going to refer this in my court case. I'm going to play this podcast episode.
Was it only certain casinos that they banned you from, or was it like they said...
The strip. Like, they have a map.
Strip.
The map right? And the cosmos here, and they put a red, or not a red, it was a yellow box around a whole area that I am not ever allowed to go back
normally
to.
Normally they ban you from like the sister properties. So
that's
like
what it, I said, yeah. Ban me from the Cosmo.
Yeah.
I barely made it out of the building when I was yeah. running. You know what I mean? Like just ban me from that property.
I think you'll be fine if you go back in there. Just don't cause a fucking ruckus. You know, like just kind of lay low if you ever do go back
but that's
in
the thing.
Any places.
Could you imagine next time no. like something else happens?
No, listen, then... I'm not going to give you advice. You do what you want to do. Don't go back to those casinos. So let's touch on your podcast. You have a podcast, right? Called the Don't Be Rude podcast.
That was like years ago.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why don't you do it? I think you would be a great fucking podcast host
because I'm like slammed and because well I mean maybe like because I see like you know you're set up like I say oh yeah I could do it too but yeah. also like
it's hard people
it's
don't
a time
realize.
Thing
it's time it takes up a lot of money and you don't make money unless you fucking really work your ass off and know how to fucking turn that into money like they don't realize that podcasting is a fucking black hole.
Yeah.
Like literally everybody who's podcasting is either paying for it out of pocket or they have sponsors. I don't have sponsors, so I'm doing the other, you know, and just I've been doing this 5 years and I'm just now last year and this year making really good money off of it.
That's what I'm saying. You have to have the time to yeah. invest mm-hmm. into like just like TikTok for me. You
yeah,
know, I had
absolutely.
To invest that time in the beginning. I didn't make a penny off of TikTok
yeah.
for the first year that I was doing it. You know, then I started making a little bit of money, but
what does 2023 hold for you? What are you going to do this year? What do you want to do this year? If you could manifest anything to happen this year, what would you want to manifest? She's like, what do I want to do?
I want peace.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I need to really start prioritizing peace in my life. And I'm really like getting to that point. Like, I want things that are going to bring me peace at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I know that I'm a chaotic person and that'll probably never change.
When's your birthday?
March 7th.
Pisces.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that I'm chaotic, but I do really like enjoy being at peace, like with myself and mm-hmm. like my emotions and stuff. It's okay. I'll be all over the place still, but like, I really do want to be like at peace with myself and like with those around me and like, yeah. just, I want to be in a peaceful place for
you,
sure.
You are learning, you know, I mean, you said you're what, 21?
22.
I mean, you've got, the road is fucking so vast and so long of like how many people that you're going to become. You know what I'm saying? You're in your peace era right now. Next, you know, 6 months from now, you're going to be in another era. Like you're just going to keep discovering who you are. And I think that you're really fucking self-aware for a 22-year-old. Like you're very mature. So.
I try. And I like, one of my biggest things is like, I really try to like self-accountability. Like
yeah.
I always like to kind of like call myself out on the spot on things just because like I don't have time to like keep fucking up in life, yeah. right? So I just like, I don't know, dude, like I don't even know what I was talking about. Shit.
I just want to say meeting you is just so, I love your vibe. I love everything about you. And I hope that you'll come back like once a year and check in on the
I
podcast
will.
With
yeah,
me.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for coming on the podcast, even despite all the crazy shit I was going through this week.
Hopefully you don't get hated on for having me on the podcast.
You know
Hopefully.
What? They can fucking hate. I don't care anymore. Like, so, Jesus Christ.
I don't think I did anything too bad.
No, you're amazing. And I think you have a really amazing story, but also just the way that you, like I said, you're just very authentic and endearing. And I think that, you know, people need to hear that side of you. I think people needed to see that you actually have emotions and you're not a robot that just fucking makes TikToks.
I forgot that I was crying. Literally, oh, okay, the trauma. But yeah, no, I'm glad that I came too because this is better than I expected. So yeah, aww. I really appreciate you for having me on.
Well,
for sure.
You better come back.
I will.
All right. Thank you guys. Oh, wait, shout out where everybody can find you.
Oh,
all your socials.
You can find me on TikTok and Instagram at Baby Egan. Or you can just literally Google search my name, Gabby Egan, and all my shit will follow. Yeah, it's right there.
You guys go follow her. You will not be disappointed. She's a sweetheart. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye. What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya.